and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of How I Got My Shrunken Ding Dong Just Kidding Head by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I forget all the voices I was doing previously, and this is late. And it would have been later, except for I got another person on that Patreon, and I'm like, damn it, now I actually have to do things. So you should support me at the old Dune, or patreon.com/Dune. You know, it'll make me do things. That being said, also, there's like a Kickstarter-style like ladder of like, if you give per month, I'll give you what do you guys want? What do you want from me? What will inspire you to do that? Do I just have to call you once a month and, you know, talk to you about what my pets are up to? I'll do that. I'm into that. Anyway, happy marriage on my buddy Nico in Glue. We went to their wedding deal yesterday. And, you know, my girlfriend got a new job at a way cooler place. It's an all-girl or female, women, tattoo shop. And she has booth rent, so she makes her own hours so I can hang out with her more. And everything's good. I went crazy as fuck though for a while, and spent like 3 days sitting in the bath going crazy, just fucking drinking and wanting to die. But I'm fine now. It happens to all of us. No? Just me? Alright, whatever. Anyway, like I said, I forgot all the voices on this, so eventually, hopefully, I'll fall back into them. But if not, it doesn't matter. You know? It's still a good story or not. It's pretty shitty. That being said, chapter number 13, yeah, for America. Corrine pulled open the door and stepped into the room. She wore an oversized t-shirt pulled down past her knees. I wondered if she was wearing panties under there at all. Her blonde hair was wild about her face. What are you doing here? She demanded. Damn it, I think she had the almost gay voice, but the girl version of it. Also, her hair in front of her face reminds me of a conversation that my girlfriend and I had yesterday, because she pulled up her Google Play, and it was all, like, Celtic women singing traditional song things, but every album cover was, like, the same, like, 36-year-old woman with curly-ish hair half in front of her face really close to the camera. And then I was like, god damn it, and I pulled open mine, and mine was all young black angry people trying to look as mean as they could to the camera. You know, because I'm a GBE glow boy 300, you know what I'm saying? Bang bang. Let me go, I cried. I raised the flashlight like a weapon. She took a step back. Hey. She let out a startled cry. I have to go, I insisted, pushing past her. Wow, I have the feeling that he had the... I have to go. No, maybe that wasn't him. I'll figure this out. Mark, what's your problem? She asked. Why are you acting so cray-cray? I stopped with the screen door half open, my shoulders against the frame. I saw Aunt Benna's notebook, I told Corrine, shining the flashlight beam on her face. I read what Aunt Benna said about your father and about Carolyn. Oh, shit. Corrine let out a sigh. Also, I'm drinking Steel Reserve because I'm me. This is the last one I have. I might have to switch to Tecate. I kept the harsh light on her face. She squinted at me like a Chinaman, then covered her eyes with her arm. Where is my aunt? I demanded sharply. Do you know where she is? No, Corrine replied. Lower the light, okay? You don't have to blind me. I lowered the light. Did your father do something terrible to my aunt? Possibly in the butt? Did he hurt Aunt Benna? No, Corrine screamed. How can you ask that, Mark? My father isn't evil. He and Benna just don't agree about some things. You sure you don't know where my aunt is? Is she hiding somewhere? Hiding from your father? Is she still on the island? The questions leaped out at me. I wanted to grab Corrine and force her to tell me the truth and maybe make out with me. She tugged at both sides of her blonde hair, like I wished I could do. We don't know where your aunt is. We really don't, she insisted. That's why Carolyn brought you here, to help us find her. We're worried about Benna, we really are. That's a lie, I cried angrily. I read my aunt's notebook. Your father isn't worried about my aunt. Well, I am, Corrine insisted. I like your aunt a lot. She's really been nice to me. I don't care about Daddy and Aunt Carolyn and their arguments with Benna. I'm worried about Benna. I really am. I raised the flashlight again. I wanted to check out Corrine's expression. I wanted to see if she was telling the truth, because my 12-year-old douchebag ass is apparently some sort of magical detective who could use a flashlight to discern the truth. Yeah, fucking right, asshole! Her blue eyes flashed in the light. I saw a teardrop running down one cheek like Lil Wayne. I decided she was being honest with me. Well, if you're worried about my aunt, help me get away from here, I said, lowering the light. Okay, I'll help you, she answered quickly, without having to think about it. I pushed open the screen and crept inside. Also outside. Corrine followed. She closed the door silently behind her.
Turn off the light, she whispered. We don't want Daddy or Carolyn to see.
I clicked off the light and started over the wet grass toward my cabin, walking fast. Corrine hurried to keep at my side.
I'll get dressed, I whispered. Then I'm going to find Aunt Benna.
A shudder swept down my back.
But how? Where should I go? Use the jungle magic, Corrine whispered. I'll tell you where Benna is. It'll tell you where to go.
But I can't, I replied shrilly. Up until today, I didn't even know I had any kind of magic. I'm still not sure I believe it.
Use the magic,
Corrine whispered, narrowing her eyes at me like an Oriental. I'm just going to keep going with those.
But I don't know how, I insisted. The magic will guide you, she replied. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will show you the way.
I wasn't so sure, but I didn't say shit. My mind was spinning. Aunt Benna's written words kept weaving through my thoughts. I should be 4,000 miles away, I told myself. I'm only safe if I'm 4,000 miles away. Now, how will I escape from Carolyn and Dr. Hollings? How? We were striding down the row of cabins. The air still felt hot and wet, heavy. The sky was darkened to black. Also it had. There were still no stars nor moon. I'll get dressed and I'll get away, I told myself. Get dressed. Get away.
Hurry, Mark, Corrine whispered at my side. Hurry and don't make a sound. Daddy's a very light sleeper.
My cabin came into view at the end of the row. But before I could reach it, I heard the soft thud of footsteps in the grass. Rapid footsteps. Corrine gasped and grabbed my arm.
Oh no! It's him! Chapter number 14!
I think I jumped a foot in the air. But probably didn't because I'm a fatty fat shit. Should I run? Try to hide? You should probably run in general. If this was a game of Jungle King, I'd know the right moves. I'd know how to escape from the evil scientist. What the fuck is up with every video game ever making scientists evil? Like, they're the people that put so much effort into keeping us alive and getting us a better quality of life. And every video game's like, the evil Dr. Robotnik or the evil Dr. Wily. It's like, really? Fucking scientists. Cut him a break. Yeah, whatever. I'd grab a vine and I'd swing myself to safety and pick up a few extra lives along the way. But of course, this shit was no game. I pressed my back against the cabin wall and froze there waiting to be caught. The rapid footsteps thudded closer. I held my breath, but my heart still pounded. I held my breath. I watched a funny-looking animal hop into view. Not Dr. Hollings, but a weird-looking rabbit with huge ears and big paws that thudded the ground as it hopped. I used hand motions to explain what huge ears and big paws were, and you guys all missed out on all of them. I watched the weird creature dart away, disappearing between two of the low cabins. Is it a rabbit? Corrine raised a finger to her lips, reminding me to shut the fuck up.
It's a new species of giant rabbit your aunt discovered. Dune should also drink more Steel Reserve.
Okay, Corrine, I won't argue with you.
Two chugs this time.
Very educational, I murmured. But do I need a lesson right now? Really? You just asked a question and got an answer, asshole.
Corrine pushed me by the shoulders toward my cabin door. Hurry, Mark. If my dad wakes up...
She didn't finish her sentence.
If he wakes up, he'll shrink my fucking head.
I finished the sentence for her.
My legs suddenly felt as if they were about to collapse, but I forced myself into my dark cabin. My hands were shaking so bad, I could hardly get dressed.
Maybe you should have a drink. That always helps me.
I pulled on the jeans I'd been wearing that day and a long sleeve t-shirt.
Hurry,
Corrine whispered from the door. Hurry up.
I wish she'd stop saying that shit. I jump every time.
Hurry, Mark.
I pulled open my suitcase and grabbed the flashlight I'd bought. Then I started to the door.
Hurry, Mark. Get going.
Corrine whispered. I stopped halfway across the cabin, grabbed the shrunken head, stuffed it into my t-shirt pocket, then I pushed open the door and stepped back outside.
Where should I go? What should I do? How could I find my aunt? Why do I keep saying aunt when in real life I say aunt, as in Aunt Lisa? What's going on?
A million questions rushed through my mind. My throat felt so dry it ached. I thought about getting one of those old cold cokes in the lab, but I knew I couldn't risk waking Corrine's father. We started walking across the wet grass.
Don't turn on the flashlight until you're hidden by the trees, jerk,
Corrine instructed like a total bitch.
But where do I go? How do I find Aunt Benna? I whispered, swallowing hard.
There's only one path, Corrine told me, pointing to a pamphlet she had about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry, pointing to the tangled dark trees at the edge of the clearing.
It will lead you part of the way.
Then what? I demanded, my voice shaking, her eyes locked on mine.
The jungle magic will take you the rest of the way.
Yeah, sure. And next week, I'll flap my arms and fly to the moon. I think that's what Gravity was about. Sorry, I was kind of high when I watched it.
I had the sudden urge to turn around, go back to my little shack, go to bed, and pretend I never read my aunt's notebook. But then, Corrine and I passed the big pile of shrunken heads. The dark eyes all seemed to stare up at me.
So sad. Such sad eyes.
I don't want my head to end up on that pile, I decided. No way, Jose.
I started to jog toward the trees. Corrine hurried to keep up with me.
Good luck, Mark,
she called softly.
Thanks, I stammered.
Then I stopped and turned to her.
What are you going to tell your dad in the morning?
Corrine shrugged. The wind blew her blonde hair around her face.
I won't tell him anything, she said. I'll tell him I slept all night and that I didn't hear shit.
Thanks, I repeated. Then I gripped the flashlight tightly. I turned and ran into the trees. The path was soft and sandy. The sand felt wet through my sandals. Vines and big, flat leaves reached over the path. They slapped against my jeans legs as I trotted along.
That was my trotting sound. What'd you guys think?
Tall weeds grew over the path. After a minute or so, it became too dark to see.
Had I wandered off the path?
I clicked on the flashlight and shone the light along the ground. The light swept over the tall trees, strange ferns, tendrils of vines. The black trunk trees appeared to lean toward me, reaching for me with their smooth, boyish limbs. No path. Here I am, I thought, squinting into the pale beam of light.
Here I am alone in the jungle. Now what to do now?
I love my girlfriend, my pets, and alcohol.
Chapter number 15.
Ow!
I swatted a mosquito on my neck. Too late. I could feel the throb of its bite. Rubbing my neck, I took a few steps through the tall weeds. I kept the circle of light in front of my feet. Ah, Uta! Ah, Uta! A shrill cry very close by made me stop. Night in the jungle belongs to the creatures, I remembered with a shiver. So it says shrill cry, and I obviously did it like, I saw the witch doctor, he told me what to do, he said, ting tang, walla walla bing bang, buy yourself a Game Boy, or whatever that commercial is and that song is, but obviously it's supposed to be shrill, so let me try this again.
Ah! Uta! Ah! Uta!
What was it? Not a giant rabbit. It sounded really B-I-G, notoriously B-I-G. I spun the light in a circle, keeping it low over the grass and the vines. The smooth tree trunk shone purple in the pale light. I didn't see any animals. I lowered the light. My whole body was shaking. Despite the damp heat of the night, I couldn't stop shivering. A wind made the leaves all flap. The trees bend and whisper.
Psst, hey, Mark. Psst, hey, I'm a tree.
You're gay.
Psst, hey, Mark. Seriously, you're gay.
The jungle was alive, I realized. Insects chittering all around. Fat leaves scraped and cracked. Ah, like you're taking a fat bong rip. I heard the soft crackle of animal footsteps running over the ground.
Ah! Uta! Ah! Uta!
What the fuck was that? Without realizing it, I had pressed myself against a low tree. Sorry, I burped. A low tree. I took a deep breath and held it, listening hard. Was the animal moving closer? Thick clumps of leaves hung down from the low branches, forming a kind of cave. I'm protected under here, I thought, gazing all around. I suddenly felt a little safer, hidden under the thick leaves, under the low branches. Through my leafy roof, I glimpsed a silver-white moonlight. It made the leaves gleam like silver, or mithril. I clicked off the flashlight and lowered myself to a sitting position on the ground like a Native American. Leaning back against the smooth trunk, I gazed up at the moon, taking slow, steady breaths. As soon as I felt calmer, I realized how tired I was. The sleeplessness swept over me like a heavy blanket. I yawned loudly. God, I should have been an actor. My eyelids seemed to weigh 100 pounds. I tried to stay alert, but I couldn't fight the drowsiness. Ooh, sleeping at night time. With the chittering of insects for a lullaby, I leaned my head against the tree trunk and drifted into a deep sleep. I dreamed about shrunken heads, dozens of shrunken heads, the leathery skin, purple and green, the eyes, black, glowing like dark coals and shit. The dry, black lips pulled back in an angry snarl. The heads floated and danced through my dream. They darted back and forth like tennis balls. They flew into me, bouncing against my chest, just balls all over me and fucking shafts going in every orifice, in, out, like a hentai nightmare, bouncing off my head, but I didn't feel them. They bounced and floated, and then the dry lips opened, and they all began to sing. Hurry, Mark, hurry, we're gonna eat your cock and balls. Oh wait, sorry, they didn't say the last part. They just said, hurry, Mark, hurry. That was their song. Their words came out hoarse and raspy, the sound of air rattling through dead leaves. Hurry, Mark, hurry. Hurry, Mark, hurry. An ugly, frightening chant. The black lips twisted into a sneer as they sang. The coal eyes glowed. The heads, dozens of shriveled, wrinkled heads bobbing and bounced and did all sorts of weird shit that heads shouldn't do. I woke up with the whispering words in my ear. I blinked. Gray morning light shimmered down through the tree leaves. My back ached. My clothes felt damp, possibly from pee-pee or semen. It took a few seconds to remember where I was. The frightening dream stayed in my mind. My hand slid up to my t-shirt pocket. I felt the shrunken head touch tucked tightly inside. This is all like Lord of the Rings. It's just like the moment in the Fellowship of the Ring where they're under the little canopy of everything and the Nazgul's looking down and he doesn't see him. And then for some reason, Frodo touches the ring. He touches the ring. My face itched. I reached up to scratch my cheek and pulled something off. A leaf? Fuck no. I squinted at the insect in my hand, a large red ant. That's the worst kind of ant, nearly the size of a fucking grasshopper. Ugh, yuck! I tossed it away. My skin tingled like I was coming off opiates. My back ached like the same. Something moved up and down my legs. Was it my dong? No. I jerked myself straight up. Alert. Wide awake now. Itching like crazy. My whole body tingle tangled. I stared down at my jeans and t-shirt and started to scream. God, I'm good at reading goosebumps. Chapter number 16. I jumped to my feet. I thrashed my arms in the air like I just didn't care. I kicked my legs. My body was covered with giant red ants. Hundreds and hundreds of them. Crawling over my arms, my legs, my chest. My dingle dongle. Their prickly legs scratching over my throat and the back of my neck. I pulled a fat one off my forehead, then another off my cheek. I didn't say which cheek. I reached up and felt them crawling in my hair. A low moan escaped my throat as I slapped at my hair, swept my hands through it, watched the big red ants fall to the ground. I felt them crawl over the backs of my hands, hot and prickly, so big and so goddamn many of them. I dropped to my knees, slapped at my chest, pulled the insects off my neck. I began rolling frantically in the tall grass, dripping wet from the heavy morning dew. I rolled and slapped myself like some sort of bad Three Stooges bit, rolling over and over, trying to flatten the insects, trying to kick them off of me. I grabbed another handful out of my hair and heaved them into the leafy brush. I struggled back to my feet, twisting and squirming, pulling at the big red ants. But there were so goddamn many of them. My skin itched and tingled. Their tiny feet prickled my arms, my legs, my chest. I already said that, I think. Oh, well. It itched so badly. I felt as if I couldn't breathe. I'm suffocating. I realized the ants, they're going to smother me. Kalia! I screamed, squirming and slapping. Kalia! To my surprise, ants started to drop off my body. Kalia! I screamed again. Ants showered down to the ground. They leaped out of my hair, dropped off my forehead, and off the front of my goddamn shirt. I stared in amazement as they fell to the ground. Then they scurried away, climbing over each other, stampeding over and under the tall grass. I rubbed my neck. I scratched my legs. My whole body still tingled. I still itched all over. But the big ants were gone. They had all jumped off when I shouted my special word. Special word. I glanced down over my shirt, trying to rub away the horrible tingling. Inside my pocket, the shrunken head's eyes glowed, a bright yellow glow, as if it had jaundice. Whoa! I grabbed the head and tugged it from my pocket. I held it up in front of me. Kalia! I shouted. The eyes glowed brighter. My special word. Where did the word come from? I didn't know. I thought I made it up. But I suddenly knew that the word was the secret behind the jungle magic. The word and the shrunken head. Somehow, the word brought the jungle magic to life. Then, I shouted it out. When I shouted it out, the ants jumped off me and hurried away. Sorry, the coaster was stuck to the bottom of my tall can. I gazed at the glowing little head with excitement and not excrement. My heart pounded in my chest. I concentrated on the head, thinking hard. I did have jungle magic. Dr. Hollings and Carolyn were right. I had jungle magic and I didn't know it. And the word Kalia was the key that unlocked it. It had helped me get rid of those gross red ants. Would it help lead me to my Aunt Benna? Yes, I cried out loud. Yes! I knew that it would. I knew I could find her now because, those fucking syllables got GPS skills and shit. I was no longer afraid of the jungle and its creatures. No longer afraid of anything that might await me in this hot, tangled jungle. I had jungle magic. I had it and I knew how to use it. And now I had to find Aunt Benna. A red morning sun rose over the treetops. If Legolas was here, he would explain that blood had fallen that night and there's like a big battle and shit, but Legolas ain't here because this isn't Lord of the Rings, even though it's goddamn similar too. The air was already hot and damp. Birds chirped and twittered on tree limbs above me. Holding the flashlight in one hand and the shrunken head in the other, I started to run toward the sun. I'm going east, I told myself. The sun comes up in the east. Was it the right direction to find my aunt? Yes, I was sure it was right. The jungle magic led me. I decided I just need to follow it, and I needed to take me to Aunt Benna, wherever she is hiding on the island. I ran over fat, leafy vines and low shrubs. I ducked under the smooth, white tree branches. Broad leaves of huge green ferns slapped at me as I ran through them. Calm down, Dune. Drink more. You're getting ahead of yourself. The sun beamed down on my face as I made my way through a wide, sandy clearing, dripping sweat down on my forehead. Hey! I cried out as my feet slipped on the soft sand. My feet slid, I lost balance, my hand shot out, the flashlight and the shrunken head flew onto the sand. Hey! I started to sink. Sand rolled over my ankles, up my legs. I kicked. I waved my arms wildly. I pulled up my knees. I tried to step out of the deep sand, but I was sinking. Sinking faster now. Sand up to my waist. The more I struggled, the faster I sank. Deeper, deeper, down into the pit of sand. Oh God, I copped a buzz too quick and I'm way too drunk. I should have ate. Yeah, it's only 2 o'clock, chapter 17. I couldn't move my legs. I had sunk too deep into the hot, wet sand. The sand crept over my waist. There's no bottom, I thought. I'm gonna keep sinking. I'm going to sink down, down, until it covers my head, until I disappear forever. My friends Eric and Joel once told me that there is no such thing as quicksand. I wish they were right now. I could show them. I wish they were here now. Not they're right. Hypothetically, he does wish that they were right, because there wouldn't be quicksand, you wouldn't be fucking drowning to death. However, he wishes they were there right now so we could show him how wrong they were, rather than wishing that they were, right in the first place, and therefore he'd still be alive. Mostly all I know about quicksand comes from Monkey Island. I opened my mouth to shout for help, but I was too panicked to make a sound. Only a tiny squeak came out. Eh. That was a squeak. What good is shouting? I asked myself. There's no one around for miles. No one who will hear me. The sand felt thick and heavy as I slid down, down, deeper into it. I stretched both hands up over my head, my hands grasping as if trying to grab onto something. I tried moving my legs, tried to pump them like treading water or pedaling a bike because I hadn't seen Mythbusters and I didn't know how to stop quicksand. But the sand was too heavy. I was in too deep. My chest heaved with terror now. I gasped in breath after breath. I opened my mouth once again to call for help and had an idea. Kalia! I screamed, my voice high and frightened. Kalia! Kalia! Nothing happened. Hey, this is just a quick break to say, hey, Lax Dude, I got a Patreon account now. I'll bank a bunch of episodes if you give me a significant amount of money. I appreciate that. I'm just saying. I'll bank stuff, I appreciate that. I just have to do, 5 episodes in 1 week. And I can do that, and then I'll have stuff banked, and it'll come out weekly, and then, it's all up to you if you want that to happen, Lax Dude. I'm just saying.
Chapter 18!
Kalia! Kalia! I screeched the word at the top of my lungs, but I continued to sink deeper, deeper into the wet, marshy pit of sand, like a sexual sarlacc. Kalia! No, nothing. I waved my arms over my head and stared up at the pale blue sky, at the trees at the edge of the clearing. Nothing but trees, as far as I could seize. I pluralized C to make it sound better in my mind. No one around. No one to help me. Oh! I suddenly realized why the magic ward wasn't working. I didn't have the shrunken head. The head had flown from my hand when I fell into the sand pit. Where was that bitch? Where? Did it sink into the sand? My eyes frantically searched the yellow-brown surface. The wet sand bubbled all around me, making a puck, puck, puck sound, like a thick soup. Maybe like a chowder, you know? That's a thick soup. I'm going to finish this tall can right now. I sank deeper and saw the shrunken head. It lay on the surface. Its black eyes stared up at the sky. Its hair was tangled beneath it, spread over the sand. With an excited cry, I stretched out both hands and tried to grab it. No, too far away. Just out of my reach. Inches out of my reach. I grunted a low grunt as I struggled to grab it. Stretched my hands out. Stretched. Stretched. I leaned forward into the sand. Leaned and stretched. And grabbed for it. Grabbed for it. Curling my fingers. Groaning and grunting. Reaching. Reaching across the wet sand. But no. I couldn't get it. The head lay a foot out of my fingertips. A foot. That seemed a mile. No way. No fucking way. My fingers grabbed only air. I couldn't reach it. I knew I was doomed. My hands dropped heavily onto the wet sand. I let out a defeated sigh. My name is Zachary. I'm a douchebag who hates just about everyone and everything, and I will never amount to anything in life. Chapter 19. My hands made a loud slapping sound as they hit the sand, and the head bounced. Huh? I uttered a startled cry. My heart started to pound. That's a heart pounding. I slapped the surface of the wet sand again with both hands. Slap, slap! The head bounced closer. Another hard slap, another bounce. The head lay only a few inches away now. I grabbed it. I held it tightly and joyfully shouted out the word. Kalia! Kalia! R.I.P. Aaliyah. At first, nothing happened. My breath caught in my throat. I froze. Kalia! Kalia! I expected to fly up, to be lifted out of the sand pit, to float magically over the hard ground. Jungle magic, please work, please work! I cried out loud, but I didn't move. I sank a little deeper. The sand crept up over my chest. I stared at the shrunken head in my hand. The black eyes appeared to stare back at me. Help me! I cried. Why aren't you helping me? And then I saw the vines. 6 seconds at first. Get it? Because that's how long a vine is? No one uses Vine anymore because Instagram has pictures. You can follow me on Instagram at Instagram @Dune_M. Dune M. That's me. Hey. Yellow green vines creeping over the sandpit, moving like long snakes. A dozen twisting, crawling vines slithering toward me from all directions. Erotic. My heart pounded as I watched the vines slither closer, closer to my orifices, until I reached out with my free hand and grabbed one. By the end of it and shit. But the vine swept past my hand, moving along quickly with a surprising force. It wrapped itself around my chest and started to tighten. No! I cried out a cry of protest. Was it going to strangle me? Another vine dipped into the sand. I felt it curl around my waist. No, stop! I wailed, having have already seen Evil Dead and knowing what vines can do. The vines tightened around me, and they then began to pull. The wet sand made a thwack sound as I started to move through it. Holding the shrunken head in the air, I let the vines tug me through the sand. They pulled hard and fast. The sand flew at my sides. A few seconds later, the vines tugged me. On my knees, onto the hard ground, I let out a happy cry. The vines instantly let go. I watched them pull back, curling quickly into the tall weeds. More Tecate! I hunched there, struggling to catch my breath, watching until the vines slithered out of sight. Then I pulled myself to my feet. My legs felt shaky and weak. My whole body trembled from my close call. But I didn't give a shit. I felt like jumping up, up and around and clapping and shouting for joy. The jungle magic had worked. The jungle magic had saved my life once again. The wet sand clung to my jeans, my shirt, my arms, and even my hair. I looked like a trust fund kid with white boy dreadlocks. I shook myself furiously. I tucked the shrunken head into my shirt pocket. Then I began slapping at my clothes, brushing off chunks of sand. Now what? I asked myself, glancing quickly around. The sun had risen high in the sky. The trees and ferns and tall grass. I had it right the first time. Here's the next word. This is why it's confusing. The tall grass gleamed. A shimmering blur of green and gold. The air had grown hot. My shirt clung wetly to my back like a wetback. Now what? How do I find Aunt Benna? I pulled the shrunken head from my pocket and held it in front of me. Lead the way! I ordered it, much like you do with the shrunken head in the Monkey Island 2. Is it 2 or 1? Where you have the shrunken head and has the eyes and it points the directions when you're looking for LeChuck and the big monkey head? Whatever. Nothing happened. I brushed chunks of sand off its leathery skin. I pried sand from between its thin black lips. I turned towards the sun and took a few steps. Was I walking east? To my surprise, the dark eyes and the shrunken head suddenly started to glow. What did it mean? Did that mean I was getting close to Aunt Benna? Did it mean I was walking in the right direction? I decided to test it. I spun around and started walking back toward the sand pit. The eyes and the head instantly dimmed back to black. Like AC/DC. Fans. Whatever, no one likes AC/DC. They make shitty ringtone rock. I turned and started walking north. The eyes remained dark. I turned back in the direction of the sun. Yes, the eyes began to glow again. Kalia! I cried happily. The head was guiding me to my aunt. Wait, so far all I know is that R.L. Stine played the Monkey Island games, which came out, you know, a couple years before this book was written, and read Lord of the Rings. God, such a thief. Just like me. Animals howled and insects chittered loudly as I made my way through the trees and tall weeds. It all sounded like music to me now because I listened to dubstep, and animals howling and insects chittering sounds better than that. Take that, kids, and what you listen to today. You don't just listen to, like, weird fucking trap shit like Dune. And fucking Social Distortion and whatever else I listen to. Fart barf. Aunt Benna, here I come, I cheered. I found myself walking deeper into the jungle. I had to keep ducking my head to avoid low branches and thick vines that stretched from tree to tree. I heard weird bird calls overhead. Coo-purr, coo-purr. As if the birds were talking to each other. That's what a bird call is, asshole. As I ducked under a low limb, the whole tree seemed to shake, and 1,000 black birds leaped off the branches, crawling angrily. So many of them, they darkened the sky as they flapped. I suddenly came to a small clearing that forked into two branches, one to the left and one to the right. Which way should I go? Wait, this is a Robert Frost poem. Two roached birds and a yellow one, and I took the one less traveled. Just go wherever the shrunken skull says, idiot. I held the shrunken head in front of me, watching it carefully. I started to the left. The eyes grew dark. Wrong way. I turned and started to the right, watching the eyes begin to glow again. Was Aunt Benna hiding somewhere in these trees? Was I getting close? The trees ended suddenly again, and I found myself in a grassy clearing. I squinted in the bright sunlight, my eyes sweeping over the shimmering green grass. A low growl made me spin back toward the trees. Oh! I let out a sharp cry as I saw the fucking tiger. My legs nearly crumpled under me. The tiger raised its head in another growl, an angry growl. It pulled back its lips, baring enormous fucking teeth. It arced its back, its yellow-brown fur standing straight on end. Then, with a furious hiss, it came charging at me. I'm glad I don't have to do voices, because this is mostly explaining what's going on, and I'm mostly just the narrator. Chapter number 20. The tiger's huge paws pounded over the grass. Its yellow eyes burned into mine. I glimpsed two little cubs behind it, nestled in the shade of a tree. I'm not gonna hurt your cubs, I wanted to cry, but of course there was no time. The tiger let out a furious roar as it charged. The roar drowned out my cry as I raised the shrunken head in front of me and in a trembling hand yelled, Kalia! My voice came out in a whimper. I nearly dropped the head, my knees collapsed, I sank to the grass. The tiger closed in for the kill. Its heavy paws thudded the dirt as it leaped toward me. The ground felt as if it were shaking. The ground was shaking. Maybe yo mama was there. Oh! To my horror, I heard a deafening ripping sound, like Velcro being torn apart, only 1,000 times harder. I let out a cry as the ground trembled, shook, split apart. The grass tore away, the dirt split in two, the earth opened the fuck up, and I started to fall down into the endless hole in the earth, down, down, screaming all the way. Ah, I'd be screaming too if I fell into your mama's empty hole. Oh, I meant endless. Oh, but you still got the joke. Oh, chapter 21. Ow! I landed hard on my elbows and knees. Pain shot through my body. I actually saw stars, hundreds of them, all red and yellow, trying to blink them away. I raised myself to my knees. The shrunken head had bounced out of my hand. I spotted it a few feet away in the dirt. I dove for that bitch, grabbed it up, shaking my hand in my shaking hand, and held it on. I'm gonna drink more to make myself read better, which never works. I spotted it a few feet away in the dirt. I dove for it, grabbed it up in my shaking hand, and held onto it tightly. I felt dizzy and shaken. I closed my eyes and waited for the dizziness to pass. When I opened them, I realized I had fallen into a deep pit. Walls of dirt surrounded me. The blue sky was a small square high above my head. Jungle magic had saved me once again. The magic had caused the ground to split open like your mama's legs. Oh man, your mama sucks. So that I could fall to safety. So that I could escape the tiger. I heard a low growl above me. With a frightened cry, I gazed up to the top of the pit and saw two yellow eyes glaring down at me. The tiger snarled, baring its fucking tiger teeth. I didn't escape. I realize I'm trapped down here. If the tiger leaps down into the pit, it'll finish me off in seconds. I have nowhere to run, nowhere to escape. This torrent finished, so I'm going to close U-Torrent. I fell back against the wall of dirt. I stared up at the snarling tiger. It eyed me hungrily, roaring again, preparing to leap to attack. Kalia! I cried, Kalia! The tiger roared in reply. I pressed my back against the dirt. I tried to stop my body from shaking. Please don't come down here, I begged silently. Please don't jump down into this pit. The yellow eyes glowed in the sunlight. The silvery whiskers twitched as the tiger snarled its toothy warning. And then I saw a little yellow and black cat face appear at the top of the pit. One of the tiger cubs. It peered down at me over the edge of the grass. The other cub popped up beside it. It leaned over the pit edge, leaned so far it nearly fell in. Such an idiot. The tiger moved quickly. She lowered her head and bumped the cub away from the edge. Then she picked up the other cub in her teeth and carried it away. I swallowed hard. I didn't move. My back pressed against the cool dirt. I stared up to the top, watching the square of blue sky and waiting for the tiger to return. Waited and waited, holding my breath. Silence now. So silent, I could hear the wind rushing through the tall grass. A chunk of dirt broke off the pit wall and toppled to the bottom, crumbling as it landed. I kept my gaze on the opening, listening hard, watching for the tiger. And after what seemed like hours, I let out a long whoosh of air. I stepped away from the dirt wall and stretched. The tiger isn't coming back, I decided. She only wanted to protect her cubs from me. By now, she had taken them away. Far away. I stretched again. My heart was still thumping hard in my chest. But I was starting to feel a little more normal. How do I get out of here? I wondered, gazing at the steep dirt walls. Can I climb out? I tucked the shrunken head back into my pocket. Is it the same pocket that's fallen out of like 4 times now? Then I dug both hands into the soft, cool dirt and tried to climb. I pulled myself up about a foot or two. But then the dirt broke off under my sneakers. It crumbled and fell, sending me sliding back to the bottom. Oh no, this is just like the Dark Knight Rises. He'll find a way. No way. I can't climb out, I realized. I reached for the shrunken head. I'll have to use jungle magic, I decided. The magic got me down here. Now I'll use it to get me out. I raised the head in front of me. But before I could call out the words, darkness fell over the pit. Is the sun setting already? I wondered. It sure as hell hasn't been setting in Southern California, where it's been goddamn 97 degrees. In whatever month this is, May, March, whatever, fuck it. I gazed up to the top. No, it wasn't evening. The square of sky that I could see was still bright blue. Someone stood up there blocking the sunlight. The tiger? A human? I squinted hard, struggling to see. Who's there? I called. Check. Ah, fuck. Motherfucker. Ugh. Oh, shut up, Franklin. I'm sick of me reading Goosebumps, too. Chapter number 22. A face leaned over the edge, peering down at me, squinting into the bright sunlight. I saw straight blonde hair, pale blue eyes. Kareen? I shouted. She cupped her hands around her mouth. Mark, what are you doing down there? What are you doing? I cried. Her hair fell over her face. She brushed it back. I followed you. I was worried about you. Get me out of here! I shouted up to her. I tried climbing again, but the dirt slid out from under my sneakers.
How?
She called down. I guess you didn't bring a ladder with you, I shouted.
No, Mark, not time to be a complete fucking douchebag,
Corrine sniped. I guess she doesn't have much of a sense of humor.
Maybe I could, like, drop a rope down or something, she suggested.
Rope isn't too easy to find in the middle of the fucking jungle, I reminded her. She shook her head. Her face tightened into a fretful frown.
How about a vine?
Oh, wait, sorry. How about a vine? I called up. See if you can find a long vine. I could climb up a vine. Her expression brightened. She disappeared. I waited impatiently and waited. Please hurry, I mumbled out loud, my eyes on the square opening at the top. Please, hurry.
I heard the squawk of birds somewhere up above. Fluttering wings, more squawking and cawing. Are the birds frightened? I wondered. If they are, why? Has the tiger returned? I pressed against the dirt wall, watching the sky. Finally, Kareen reappeared.
I found a vine, but I don't know if it's long enough.
Lower it over the side, bitch, I told her. Quick, I have to get out of here. I feel like a trapped animal.
It was hard to pull it out of the ground, she complained.
She began lowering the vine.
It looked like a long snake twining down the side of the pit.
It stopped a few feet above my head.
I'm gonna jump up and grab it, I told. Fuck. Goddamn, my throat's so dry. Can't talk. Must drink.
Jesus, what was that? I need to get some water, I think. I think just drinking beer and fucking cocktails is not helping. I told Kareen,
then I'll try to climb while you pull. Wrap the other end around your waist, okay?
Don't let go of it.
Just don't pull me down with you,
she called back. I waited for her to tie the vine around herself. Then I bent my knees and jumped. I missed the end of the vine by a few inches. This was one of those times.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl something something I would call her.
Wait, I need to go back because he goes, I wish I was tall and thin instead of short and chubby. Idiot. But I grabbed the vine on my third try. I wrapped both hands around it. Then I pressed the soles of my sneakers against the dirt wall and started to pull myself up like a mountain climber. The dirt kept crumbling out from under me and the vine grew more and more slippery as my hands started to sweat. But with Kareen cheering me on, I scrambled up to the top.
I lay in the tall grass for a moment, breathing in the sweet fragrance. It felt so wonderful to be out of that deep hole.
That's how I must feel getting out of your mama's hole. Oh, snap!
How'd you fall down there anyway?
Kareen asked, tossing her end of the vine to the ground.
It was easy, I replied. I climbed to my feet and tried to brush the dirt off my shoulders. But didn't you see that big pit there?
She demanded. Not exactly, I told her. I wanted to change the subject.
How'd you find me? What are you even fucking doing here,
Kareen?
Her blue eyes locked on mine. I was worried about you. I didn't think you should be all alone in the jungle, so I sneaked away. Daddy was working in his lab, and I crept away from the headquarters and followed you.
I brushed clumps of dirt off my hair.
Well, I'm glad, I confessed. But aren't you going to be in major trouble with your dad and Carolyn?
She bit her lower lip.
Probably, but it'll be worth the risk if we find your aunt.
Aunt Benna! Trying to survive the quicksand the tiger. I had nearly forgot about that broad.
Takate.
A shadow rolled over us. The air suddenly grew cooler. I glanced up at the sky. The sun was lowering itself behind the trees.
It's almost night, I said quietly.
I hope we can find Aunt Benna before it gets really dark. I had already spent one night out in the jungle. I didn't want to spend another.
Wait, when Kareen followed him, was she watching him sleep in the pile of ants?
Fuck that.
Do you know which way to go?
Kareen asked.
Are you just wandering around hoping to get lucky?
Wink.
No way, I replied.
I pulled the head from my shirt pocket. This little guy is showing me the way.
Excuse me?
Kareen's face filled with surprise.
The eyes light up when I go in the right direction, I explained.
At least, I think that's why they light up.
Kareen gasped. You mean... You really do have jungle magic.
I nodded. Yeah, I have it. It's so weird. There's a word I've always said. Kalia! Just a crazy word. I thought I made it up when I was a little kid, but it's the word that makes the jungle magic work.
Wow! 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 Corrine exclaimed, a grin spread across her face. That's awesome, Mark. That means we really will find Benna. That's so great. The shadows over the ground grew longer as the sun dipped lower. I shivered as a cold gust of wind blew over us. My stomach growled. I couldn't remember when my last meal was. I tried not to think about food. I had to keep moving. Let's get going, I said softly. I raised the head in front of me. Then I turned slowly, one direction, then the next, until the eyes began to glow. This way, I cried, pointing across the clearing to the trees. We started walking side by side. The tall grass swished, brushing our legs as we stepped through it. Insects chittered in the trees. Corrine stared in amazement at the glowing eyes on the leathery head.
Do you think it's guiding us to Benna?
We'll soon find out, I said solemnly. We stepped into the shifting darkness between the tangled trees.
Chapter number 23.
As the sunlight faded, the jungle sounds changed. The birds in the trees stopped chirping. The shrill sawing of the insects grew louder. We heard strange animal howls and cries in the distance, the sound bouncing between the smooth trees. I hoped the howls and cries stayed the fuck in the distance. Dark creatures slithered through the tall weeds and low, fat ferns and shrubs. The shrubs appeared to tremble as night creatures scurried through them. I heard the warning hiss of snakes, the eerie hoot of an owl, the soft flap, 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 flap of bat wings. I moved closer to Corrine as we walked. The sounds were all so much more realistic than in my Jungle King game. Are you saying the jungle is more realistic than a video game about the jungle? From 1990 some odd. I'll probably never play that game again after this, I thought. It seemed way too tame. We pushed our way back through the clump of tall, stiff reeds. The eyes on the shrunken head dimmed to black. Wrong way, I whispered. Corrine and I turned until the eyes glowed again. This is seriously the plot of one of the Monkey Island games. I think it's number 2. Whatever. Then we moved forward, making our own path. We stepped over thick vines and pushed through tangles of weeds and low shrubs.
Ow!
Corrine slapped at her forehead. Stupid a mosquito! The shrill scratching of insects grew louder, drowning out the crunch of our sneakers over the leaves and vines on the jungle floor. As the darkness deepened, the eyes in the shrunken head appeared to glow brighter, like twin flashlights guiding us through the trees. Maybe it wasn't just Corrine's headlights on. Broop, broop. It's a nipple joke.
I'm getting kind of tired, Corrine complained.
She ducked her head to avoid a low branch.
I hope your aunt is nearby. I don't know how much longer I can walk.
I hope she's nearby too, I murmured in reply. I had a pretty exhausting day myself because of the fucking quicksand and tigers and shit, bitch. As we walked, I couldn't help thinking about Aunt Benna and her notebook. I didn't want to make Corrine feel bad, but I had to say something. My aunt didn't write very nice things about your dad and Carolyn in her notebook, I said, keeping my eyes at my feet. It was kind of a surprise. Corrine was silent for a long moment.
That's so horrible, she said finally. They worked together for so long, I knew they had an argument.
About what? I asked. Corrine let out a sigh.
Daddy had some plans to develop the jungle. He thinks there are valuable minerals here. Benna thinks the jungle should be preserved.
She sighed again.
I think that's what they fought about. I'm not sure.
The notebook made it seem like your dad is evil or something, I muttered, avoiding her eyes.
Evil? Daddy?
Evil Daddy sounds like a shitty rockabilly, like a clothing company. Like they make like dumb bowling shirts with flames on them and weird gear shifting knobs with skeletons that say like Evil Daddy Clothing 13. No way. He's very strong-minded, that's all. He isn't evil. And I know that Daddy still cares about Benna. He still respects her and cares about her. He's really worried about her. He...
Whoa!
I grabbed Corrine's arm, interrupting her.
Look!
I pointed through the trees. I spotted a clearing up ahead, and against the gray sky, I could see the black outline of a small shack. Corrine gasped.
That little house? Do you think...
We both crept to the edge of the clearing. Something scurried quickly over my sneakers, but I ignored it. I could not ignore that. My eyes were on the tiny, dark shack. As we moved closer, I could see that it was built of tree limbs and sticks. Clumps of fat leaves made the roof. It had no window, but there were narrow openings between the branches.
Hey,
I whispered. I saw a pale light flicker in one of the openings.
A flashlight?
A candle? Someone smoking something? Possibly drugs?
Someone's in there!
Corrine whispered, narrowing her eyes in the shack. I heard a cough.
A woman's cough? Aunt Benna's cough?
I couldn't tell.
Do you think it's my aunt?
I whispered, huddling close to Corrine.
Only one way to find out.
She whispered back. The shrunken head glowed brightly in my hand. The eerie yellow-green light splashed over the ground as Corrine and I crept closer, closer.
Aunt Benna?
I called in a tiny voice. I cleared my throat. My heart pounded.
Aunt Benna, is that you?
You know what? I'm probably not going to get this done today. I don't know. Girlfriend's gonna get off early, and it sounds fucking lovely to go in the pool and just have, like, 14 beers in the pool right now, so I think that's what I'm gonna do. That being said, I'm still gonna do at least chapter 24. You know, chapter 24! I called again and stepped close to the open doorway into the small shack. I heard a thump inside, saw a flash of light, and heard a startled cry. A lantern appeared in the doorway. My eyes went to the pale yellow light and then moved up to see the woman holding the lantern. She was short, very short, only about a foot taller than me. And a little chubby. Her straight black hair was tied back. In the glow of the lantern light, I saw that she wore khaki slacks and a khaki safari jacket, like Dune wished she was wearing right now.
Who's there?
She raised the lantern in front of her. Aunt Benna? I cried, moving closer. Is that you?
Mark, I don't believe it!
She exclaimed. She came running toward me, the lantern swinging at her side. The light bounced over the tall grass, making shadows dance. She wrapped me in a hug.
Mark, how did you find me? What are you doing here?
She had a high, chirpy voice. Ooh, I nailed it. And she talked rapidly without taking a breath. Also nailed it. She pushed me away from her to study my face.
I don't believe I even recognize you. I haven't seen you since you were 4.
Aunt Benna, what are you doing out here? I demanded breathlessly. Everyone is so worried.
How did you get to
Baladora?
She asked, gripping my shoulder with her free hand, holding the lantern high with the other.
What are you doing in the jungle? How'd you get out here?
She cried again.
I use the jungle magic.
I stammered. Her eyes went wide with surprise?
With fear?
We'll find out, won't we, listeners? I suddenly realized she wasn't looking at me.
Hello? Who are you?
Aunt Benna asked quietly, stretching the lantern toward the trees. Corrine stepped out from the edge of the clearing. In all excitement, I didn't realize that she had lingered behind.
That's Corrine, I told my aunt. Do you know Corrine? Dr. Holling's daughter?
Aunt Benna gasped. She squeezed my shoulder.
Why did you bring her here? Don't you realize?
It's okay. Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Fuck, what was Corrine's voice?
It's okay.
There we go. Corrine said quickly.
I was worried about you. That's why I followed Mark.
She helped me, I explained to Aunt Benna. Corrine helped me to get away from them, from Dr. Hollings and Carolyn. Corrine helped me get through the jungle.
But,
Aunt Benna sputtered,
you told her about the jungle magic?
I only came to help,
Corrine insisted.
My father is worried about you.
Your father wants to kill me,
Aunt Benna cried angrily.
That That's why I had to run away. That's why I had to leave everything behind and hide in the jungle.
She glared at Corrine, her eyes squinting, her face pinched and hard in the yellow lantern light. Whatever. Corrine is okay, I assured her. She only wants to help Aunt Benna, really. My aunt turned to me.
Carolyn and Hollings brought you here?
I nodded. Yes, to find you. Carolyn brought me this. I pulled the shrunken head from my shirt pocket. It stopped glowing. They told me I had the jungle magic, I continued. I didn't know what they meant. I thought they were crazy. Then, when I went out to look for you in the jungle, I discovered that I did have it. Aunt Benna nodded.
Yes, you have it, Mark. I gave it to you when I visited you, when you were 4. I hypnotized you, and I transferred the jungle magic from me to you to keep safe.
Yes, I read your notebook, I told her. I read about why you gave me the magic, but it didn't say what jungle magic it was. I only knew
it's a powerful force, my aunt replied.
Lowering her voice.
It's a powerful force that will do your will, carry your wishes.
Her eyes filled with sadness.
But we can't talk about it now, she said in a whisper. We're in danger here, Mark. Real danger.
I started to reply, but I heard rustling, cracking sounds from the trees. Footsteps? All 3 of us spun around toward the sound. To my surprise, Corrine started running across the grass. She cupped her hands around her mouth.
Over here, Daddy, she shouted. Over here, I found Benna, Daddy, hurry!
God, what a cunt. Anyway, I'm cutting this off here because, I don't know. I need a break. Fuck this. It's, whatever. I'm gonna go swimming and have a few beers. Maybe I'll do it later tonight. I'll be really drunk if so. Okay, I'm back. So it's Tuesday now. I haven't had a chance to record. And if I sound completely different than I generally do, it's because I am currently stone sober. So, let's resolve that. I got 3 shots of tequila laying out here right now. So let's just pound those down, and then hypothetically you'll be able to witness me getting funnier and funnier, or just slurring more. But at least let's get to normal, so 3 shots. Here we go. First one to Satan, as always. Ugh. Second one, to R.L. Stine. Jesus. Let me have a sip of water in between. And the third one, to the deaf frat guy, who just made me the state head of Delta Fu Gamma. Officially in a fraternity. It's weird. I'll explain. Never. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, last shot. Ooh! God damn, that's how you start some goosebumps. Alright. Chapter! I should probably get this taste of tequila out of my mouth. With water.
Number 25.
I gasped in shock. No time to rum, only tequila. Just getting run. A beam of light flickered out from the trees. Behind it came Dr. Hollings, trotting over the tall grass. He carried a flashlight in one hand. The light swept into my eyes, then moved over Aunt Benna. Was Dr. Hollings carrying a gun? Some kind of weapon? I couldn't see shit! And I didn't want to find out. Wait, wouldn't you want to know if someone has a gun that wants you dead? Whatever. I grabbed Aunt Benna's arm and tugged. I wanted to run, to escape into the jungle, but my aunt refused to move. She seemed frozen in surprise, or fear. Corrine's father trotted up to us, breathing hard. Even in the dim light, I could see the pleased smile on his face.
Good work, Corrine. He patted her shoulder. I knew if you helped Mark escape, he would lead us right to his aunt.
Still holding on to Aunt Benna's arm, I stared at Corrine angrily. She had tricked me. She had pretended to be my friend, but the whole time she was working to help her father. Corrine stared back at me for a moment. Then she lowered her eyes to the ground.
"Why did you trick me?" I demanded. "Why'd you do it, Corrine?"
She raised her eyes to me.
"Daddy needs the jungle magic,"
she replied softly.
"But you lied to me,"
I cried like a little bitch.
"I didn't have a choice,"
Corrine said.
"If your father needed your help, what would you do?"
"You did the right thing, Corrine,"
Dr. Hollings told her. He raised the light to Aunt Benna's face. He forced her to cover her eyes.
"Did you really think you could hide forever, Benna?"
he demanded softly.
I'm sorry, I told my aunt. "It's my fault.
No,
Aunt Benna put a hand on my shoulder.
"It's not your fault, Mark. It's my fault. You didn't know anything about this, and now I'm afraid I've gotten you in a lot of trouble. Maybe deep trouble."
And then it's going to have the little Stan Lee edit, like old comics, and be like, "Hey, Comic Tears, to get that reference, read the last two issues of Dune Reads Goosebumps. Excelsior! S.L. Dr. Holling snickered.
"A lot of trouble, that's the truth."
He stepped up to Aunt Benna.
"I want the secret of jungle magic. Tell me the secret, Benna. Let me know how it works, and I will allow you and your nephew to leave the island in one piece."
"In one piece?" "Wait, I didn't like the sound of that. Does that mean I have to be in my aunt?" "Gross."
As Dr. Holling stared at my aunt, I slipped the shrunken head from my pocket. "I'll use the jungle magic," I decided. "I'll use the magic to get us out of this jam." I raised the head slowly in front of me. I opened my mouth to call out the secret word, but I was stopped when I caught Aunt Benna's glance. She was signaling me with her eyes, telling me not to do it.
"What's going on?" Dr. Hollings demanded, angrily turning towards me. "What are you doing?"
"Don't give it away, Mark," Aunt Benna pleaded. "Don't let them know the secret word."
I lowered the shrunken head.
"I won't," I whispered.
"It's okay, Daddy,"
Corrine said, her eyes on me.
"I know the word. Mark told it to me. I can tell you what it is. It's
chapter number 26.
I clamped my hand over Corrine's mouth.
"Run, you fool," I cried to Aunt Benna. "Run now."
With an angry cry of attack, Aunt Benna lowered her shoulder and barreled into Dr. Hollings. She roared into him like a football player, like a big African-American one at that, or possibly Samoan, and sent him sprawling against the little shack. He uttered a startled yelp. Did he utter a snarky review that he thought was important, but clearly it wasn't, and I hate Yelp? The flashlight flew out of his hand and rolled across the ground. I spun away from Corrine and followed my aunt. Our shoes thudded over the tall grass as we ran for the trees. We were nearly to the edge of the clearing when Carolyn stepped in front of us.
"What's your hurry?"
she demanded, moving to block our way.
"The party is just starting." I swear I think her voice was something like that.
Aunt Benna and I whirled around. Dr. Hollings had moved up behind us. We were trapped. Carolyn raised her flashlight. Her silvery eyes narrowed at Aunt Benna. Carolyn smiled. A cold, unpleasant smile.
"How are you, Benna? We missed you."
"Enough chit-chat."
It says chit-chat, but I made my own word for other boring conversation. I'm going to start using that. Dr. Hollings muttered, gesturing with his flashlight.
"It's too dark to go back to headquarters. We'll have to spend the night here, in one sleeping bag." I call Little Spoon.
"How cozy,"
Carolyn said, still smiling with that cold smile at Aunt Benna. Aunt Benna scowled and looked away.
"Carolyn, I thought you were my friend."
We're all good friends here, Dr. Holling said. And good friends like to share. That's why you're going to share the secret of the jungle magic with us, Benna.
Never!
My aunt declared, crossing her arms in front of her because I was trying to look at her chest at an inappropriate time. Never isn't a word for friends, Dr. Holling scolded like a rapist. In the morning, we will go back to the headquarters. Then you will share everything, Benna. You will share all of your secrets, even the bathroom ones. And you will give the jungle magic to Carolyn and me. Like a good friend, Carolyn added. Let's go, Dr. Holling said. He put a heavy hand on my back and shoved me toward the little shack. Corrine was sitting on the ground, her collar pulled up, her back leaning against one wall. You and Benna in the shack, Dr. Holling ordered, giving me another rough shove. That way, we can keep an eye on you.
You're wasting your time, Richard,
Aunt Benna told him. She was trying to sound tough, but her voice trembled as she said it. Dr. Hollings forced us into the dark shack. Aunt Benna and I stretched out on the floor. Through the cracks in the wall, I could see the darting light of their flashlights.
Are they going to guard us all night?
I whispered. Aunt Benna nodded.
We're prisoners now,
she whispered back. She sighed.
But we can't let them have the jungle magic. We can't.
I slid closer to my aunt.
If we don't give it to them, I said softly, what will they do to us?
Aunt Benna didn't reply. What will they do to us? I repeated. She stared down at the floor and didn't say shit.
Chapter 27.
A red ball of sun was rising in the early morning sky when Dr. Hastings poked his head into the shack and woke us the fuck up. I had slept only a few minutes. The shack had no floor. Ah! That was someone falling as if there was no floor. You know, like Bill and Ted, where they play 20 questions. And the ground was hard. Whenever I closed my eyes, I dreamed about the shrunken head in my pocket. I dreamed that I held it in my hand. It blinked its eyes, and its lips began to move.
You are doomed,
it exclaimed in a horrifying, hoarse whisper. You are doomed, 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 reads Goosebumps. Aunt Benna and I scrambled out of the shack, stretching and yawning. Even though the sun was still low over the trees, the air felt hot and wet. My whole body ached from lying on the hard ground. My shirt was damp and smelly. My stomach growled. I scratched my neck and discovered it was covered with mosquito bites. Not one of the great mornings. What a weird paragraph sentence. And it wasn't looking any better. We walked for hours through the sweltering jungle. My taint was like a swamp. Carolyn and Corrine led the way. Dr. Hollings walked behind Aunt Benna and me, making sure we didn't try to escape. No one said a word. The only sounds were the cries of animals, the chirping of birds overhead, and the swish of the tall weeds and grass as we pushed through. Swarms of white gnats flew up off the path, swirling together like small tornadoes. The sun beamed down through the trees, burning the back of my neck. When we made it to backed and shit to the fucking cabins, it was hot and shit, and fucking we were hungry, and we were thirsty too, and probably sober. It was gay as fuck. Dr. Hollings shoved Aunt Benna and me into an empty cabin. He slammed the door behind us and locked it. The cabin had two folding chairs and a small bed without sheets or blankets. I dropped down wearily onto the bare mattress.
What's he gonna do to us?
Aunt Benna bit her lip, presumably seductively.
Don't worry, she said softly. I'll figure something out.
So far, all she figured out was hiding in the fucking forest doing nothing herself. Or woods, or not woods. Fucking jungle. She crossed the small room and tried the window. That was her brilliant plan? Obviously they locked the window, asshole. It was either stuck or bolted from the outside.
Maybe we can break the glass, I suggested.
No, he'll hear it,
Aunt Benna replied. I rubbed the back of my neck. The mosquito bites were itching like crazy. I wiped sweat off my forehead with the back of my hand. The door opened. Corrine entered, carrying two small bottles of water. She tossed one to me and one to my aunt. Then she turned quickly, closed the door hard behind her, and carefully locked that bitch. I tilted the bottle to my mouth and gulped down the water without taking a breath. There were a few drops left at the bottom. I sprinkled them over the top of my head, then I tossed the bottle on the floor because I'm terrible at rationing things.
What are we gonna do?
I asked Aunt Benna. She was sitting in one of the folding chairs, her feet resting on the other. She raised a finger to her lips. Outside, I heard the rattle of machinery, a metal clang. I heard the rush of water from a hose. I hurried to the window and peered out, but it faced the wrong way. I couldn't see anything.
You couldn't see anything, that's all.
We've had one lucky break, Aunt Benna murmured.
I stared at her.
Excuse me?
One lucky break, she repeated. Hollings didn't take away the shrunken head. It was so dark last night, I don't even think he saw it. I pulled the head out from my pocket. The black hair had become tangled. I started to smooth it back.
Put it away, Mark,
Aunt Benna ordered sharply.
We don't want Hollings to see it. He doesn't know that the head is needed for jungle magic.
This particular head? I asked, shoving it back in the pocket.
Only this one?
Aunt Benna nodded.
Yes, that head and the magic word. The word I gave you when I hypnotized you when you were four.
The head's black hair fell over my pocket. I carefully tucked it inside. Outside, I heard another metal clank. I heard a splash. The roar of water grew louder.
We're in terrible danger, Aunt Benna said softly and fucking obviously. You will have to use the jungle magic to save us, Mark.
I felt a chill of fear, but I muttered,
no problem. Wait till I give you the signal, Aunt Benna instructed. When I blink my eyes three times, pull the shrunken head out and shout the word. Keep watching me. Watch for the signal, okay?
Before I could reply, the door burst open. Dr. Hollings and Carolyn hurried in, their faces grim. Dr. Hollings carried a large silvery pistol.
Damn, that fool is trapped.
Outside, he ordered, waving the pistola at Aunt Benna and me.
Carolyn led the way down the row of cabins. She turned and made a stop behind the main headquarters building. Corrine stood against the wall, a wide-brimmed straw hat pulled down over her eyes, much like the hat that Dune likes to wear to the swap meet, like a crazy old Asian man. The sun beamed down. The back of my neck prickled and itched. Huddled close to my aunt, I squinted into the bright sunlight. To my right, the big pile of shrunken heads came into focus. The dark eyes on the leathery, purple and brown heads seemed to stare at me. The mouths were all twisted in ugly expressions of anger and horror and sexual frustration and longing for Dune. I turned away from the terrifying pile of tiny heads to see something even more fucking terrifying. An enormous black pot stood behind the headquarters building. Water brimmed over the top, bubbling and boiling. I understand that this has to do with shrunken heads and witch doctors and all that shit, but once again, it seems suspiciously stolen from the Monkey Island games. The pot stood on some kind of electric burner, and that's probably like a vaporizer setup. You know, it's probably like a magic lift box. What is that thing called?
Damn it.
Like a stove burner? It glared red hot. It fucking was cherried and shit. The boiling water inside the pot that was probably a bong, it was like a bubbler and it like steamed and shit too. I turned to Aunt Benna and caught the fear on her face.
You can't do this, she screamed to Dr. Hollings. You know you can't get away with this.
I don't want to hurt you, Dr. Hollings said calmly, without any emotion at all. Much like a German.
A smile spread over his stupid German face.
I don't want to harm you, Benna.
I just want to own the jungle magic.
I kept my eyes locked on my aunt, waiting for her signal, waiting for the three blinks that meant I should go into action.
Give me the jungle magic, Dr. Hollings insisted. Carolyn stepped up beside him, hands on her waist. Give it to us, Benna. We don't want... give it to us, Benna. We don't want trouble. We really don't.
No.
The words shot out of my aunt's mouth.
No, no, no.
You both know I will never give up the secret of the jungle magic. Not to you. Not ever. Carolyn sighed.
Please, Benna,
don't make it difficult.
My aunt stared back at her.
No, bitch, she murmured. Aunt Benna blinked. I swallowed hard, watching for two more blinks. No, not the signal. Not yet. Dr. Holling stepped forward. Please, Benna, I'm giving you one last chance. Tell us the secret now. Aunt Benna shook her head. Then I have no choice, Dr. Holling said, shaking his head. Since you two are the only ones in the world who know the secret, you are both too dangerous. The secret must die with you.
What are you going to do to us? I blurted out, completely unaware of the giant black pot that was right in front of me that R.L. Stine went into way too much detail about.
We're going to shrink your heads, Dr. Hollings replied.
I'm in heaven with chapter 28. Yeah, chapter 28.
The pot hissed as the water boiled over the side. I stared in horror at the billows of steam rising up over the pot. Was he really going to shrink our fucking heads? Was I going to end up shriveled and leathery like a ball sack, with the head the size of a doorknob or maybe a ball sack? Was I going to be a human ball sack? I forced my legs to stop wobbling, thinking of my ball sack, and stared at Aunt Benna, wondering if she was aware of ball sacks. Of course she was. She was a grown woman. She's probably seen tons of ball sacks. Staring at her, staring hard, watching her eyes, waiting for three blinks. Hurry, I pleaded silently. Hurry, before he tosses us into the boiling water and makes us ball sacks. Corrine watched in silence. What was she thinking? I wondered. Probably not ball sack stuff. I couldn't see her expression. Her face was hidden under the brim of her straw hat, like a ball sack hidden below a large shaft. Benna, one last chance, Dr. Hollings said softly. Because I like you. And your nephew. Don't let me harm your nephew, Benna. Do it for him, okay? Tell me the secret, for Mark's sake.
It isn't worth it.
Sorry. It isn't worth it, Benna, Carolyn chimed in. It will be so easy for you to give the jungle magic to us.
I can't,
Aunt Benna stammered. Then we have no choice, Dr. Hollings said, almost sadly. The boy goes in first. He took a step toward me. Aunt Benna blinked. Once, twice,
three times!
Finally, with a trembling hand, I tugged the head from my pocket. I raised it in front of me. I opened my mouth to shout the secret word, but Dr. Hollings swiped the head from my hand. He grabbed it away and tossed it onto the pile of heads. Then he dove for me, reaching out to grab me with both hands. I ducked from under him. I threw myself onto the disgusting pile of heads like thousands of ball sacks. I began frantically sorting through them with both hands, ball sack in this hand, ball sack in that. Picking one up, tossing it aside to side and back to forth, and grabbing the next one, the next one, the next one. They felt sticky and warm. Some were hairy and some were shaved, hard as baseballs. The hair brushed my hands. The dark eyes stared up at me blankly. They were so ugly. My stomach tightened. My breath came in wheezing gasps. Behind me, I could hear my aunt struggling with Dr. Hollings, wrestling with him, trying to keep him away from me. I heard Carolyn shouts, Corrine's cries of alarm. I had to find my shrunken head. I had to find it before Dr. Hollings broke free of my aunt and grabbed me. I picked one up, tossed it down, picked up another, tossed it down. How could I find mine? Which one was it? Which one? Which one?
Ball sacks!
Chapter number 29.
I grabbed a head, saw ants crawling over its cheek, picked up another. It stared at me with glassy green eyes, picked up another. It had a long white scratch on its ear. I started to toss it back into the pile, but I stopped. A white scratch on its ear? Yes! Mine has a scratch. My sister Jessica scratched it back home. Yes! This head was mine. Thank you, Jessica! I cried at the top of my lungs. With an angry cry, Dr. Hollings dove at me. He wrapped his arms around me and started to drag me off the pile of heads. Kali! I shouted, holding on tightly to the shrunken head. My shrunken head. Kalia! Will it save Aunt Benna and me? I wondered. Will the jungle magic work this time? Dr. Hollings still had his arms around my shoulders. He was trying to pull me toward the boiling pot. Kalia! I screamed. His hands slid away. They seemed to shrink. His arms seemed to shrink into his body. Huh? I uttered a startled cry when I realized that he was shrinking. Dr. Holling's entire fucking body was shrinking, growing smaller and smaller.
Scarlet, you're so cute.
I raised my eyes to Corrine and Carolyn. They were shrinking too, shrinking down to the ground. Corrine disappeared under the straw hat. Then she came running out from under the brim. A tiny Corrine, about the size of a mouse. I'm pretty sure people have that strange fetish and it's very odd. All three of them, Corrine, Carolyn, and Dr. Hollings, scampered over the grass, mouse size, squeaking angrily in tiny mouse voices. I stood beside the pile of heads and watched them scurry over the ground, squeaking and squealing. I watched them until they disappeared into the jungle. Then I turned back to Aunt Benna. It worked, I cried. The jungle magic. It saved us. She rushed forward and wrapped me in a hug. You did it, Mark. You did it. The jungle is safe now. The whole world is safe.
There's a drinking break here, but I don't have any alcohol to drink, and it's kind of a bummer, but I'm almost done with this, and then I have a tall can of Steel Reserve in my fridge as a reward to good old Dune.
There were more hugs when Aunt Benna flew me home. Hugs from Mom and even Jessica. They met us at the airport. Then Mom drove us home for a big welcome home dinner. I had so many stories to tell. I started telling them in the car and I didn't stop until way past dinner. It was nearly bedtime when Aunt Benna led me into the den. She closed the door behind us, then sat down on the couch. She sat down beside me.
Look into my eyes, she said softly. Look deeply, Mark. Very deeply.
I raised my eyes to hers. What are you going to do? I asked. I didn't hear her reply. As I stared into her eyes, the room grew fuzzy. The colors all seemed to shift and blur. I thought I saw the posters on the den wall flipping over and over. I thought I saw the chairs and coffee table sliding across the floor. He's tripping balls. Ball sacks. Sorry. After a while, the room came back into focus. Aunt Benna smiled at me.
There, she said, squeezing my hand. You're back to normal, Mark.
Huh? I squinted at her. What do you mean?
No more jungle magic, she explained.
I took it back. You're a normal boy again. You mean if I shout, Kalia, nothing will happen? I asked. That's right, she smiled at me, still holding my hand.
I took back the magic. The shrunken head has no powers, and you have no powers. You never have to worry about it again.
She stood up, yawning. It's getting late. Bedtime, don't you think?
I nodded. Yeah, I guess.
I was still thinking about how I didn't have jungle magic anymore.
Aunt Benna?
Yes.
Can I keep the shrunken head?
Of course, she replied, tugging me to my feet. Keep the shrunken head as a souvenir. That way, you'll always remember your jungle adventure.
I don't think I can forget it too easily, I replied.
Then I said goodnight to that bitch and made my way to bed.
Another drinking break, and here I am, all dressed up and nowhere to go, eh, Dune?
The next morning, I woke up early and pulled on my clothes as fast as I could. I couldn't wait to get to school and show off the shrunken head to Eric and Joel and all the other kids. I gulped down my cornflakes and chugged my orange juice. I strapped on my backpack,
called goodbye to Mom, grabbed the shrunken head, and headed out the door. Holding the head carefully in my hand, I started to jog along the sidewalk. It was a bright, sunny day. The air smelled warm and sweet. Hey, what's warm smell like? Am I right? Good stuff, dude. My school was only 3 blocks from my house, but as I jogged along, it seemed like miles. I couldn't wait to get there and show off to everyone. I couldn't wait to tell my friends about all my jungle adventures. I could see the school in the next block, and I could see a bunch of kids hanging out by the front door. As I ran across the street, I suddenly felt the head move in my hand. It twitched. Huh? I let out a gasp and stared down at it. The eyes blinked, then stared up at me. The lips closed, then opened again.
Hey, kid, the head growled. Let me tell the part about the tiger.
The end. You know what? As far as Goosebumps go, that was pretty solid. We went on an adventure. It was jungly. Felt like Rudyard Kipling. Except for the ending of just, okay, the skull came back to life. I already knew that she was supposed to be magic. Does that mean he still has powers too? I don't know. How long till you think he's turning a trip? God, I'm stupid. I was going to say, how long do you think till he tries to cop a blowjob off it? But, you know, it doesn't matter. Now I feel stupid for even saying that. I shouldn't have repeated it. I'm doomed. This is the end of this. You know, keep it real. Do all the things that you want to do. Life's pretty good. Might go to swap me a little bit. Might just, you know, drunk and go swimming again. Until then, I'm Doom. You can hit me up on all the ways I always tell you to hit me up. Stay spooky, bitches.